Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls, Ilui Neshamot, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chaba, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. Now, let me warn everybody that there's going to be a lot of coughing during this show. I was actually better. I got over my COVID symptoms, and I was actually better a couple of days ago. But yesterday morning, I got my second Pfizer shot, and I'm getting side effects. I'm getting flu-like symptoms as my side effects to the second COVID shot. It is certainly worth it to get the shots. Despite that, that's a small price to pay. But I will do a lot of coughing during this show because of that, and I apologize in advance. We're going to speak about the horrific Israeli defeat in the latest round of fighting between Israel and the Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists. First of all, let's understand something. Israel is a modern technological powerhouse with intelligence information on all of its enemies, tremendous intelligence information on all of its enemies, a just incredible, ingenious ability to fight and to get information and to collect intelligence and to wage war if they would only have the will. The problem is they don't have the will. And so when Israel has a war with a ragtag army of Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists, they have thousands of missiles, but their missiles are not particularly accurate. Over 90% of them were shot down by the Iron Dome, by Israel's Iron Dome, the Hamas terrorist missiles. And it's true that they have certain ability to fight, but compared to Israel, compared to the Israeli army and the extremely modern, brilliant, sophisticated army of Israel and the sophisticated technology that Israel has developed and the Jewish brains have developed, it's a joke. Israel could defeat them in 2 or 3 hours if Israel wanted to. Instead, we had an 11-day war, and in the end, Israel surrendered. Because as long as the Hamas terrorists live to fight another day, that means they won. If this ragtag army of terrorists fighting against the modern Israeli army survives, that's a victory. That's a moral victory. So this was a disgrace, a complete chilul Hashem, desecration of God's name, and a disgrace, which is what everything that Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party and the Likud government and the phony right do, all of it is always a disgrace and always a chilul Hashem. Netanyahu and the phony right are even worse than the open left in Israel, because the open left is unable to do all of the damage that the phony right can do. The phony right has the support of most Israelis when they carry out these suicidal policies. And the open left does not have the support of most Israelis. So the open left, when they're in power, are much less able to do what the damage that Netanyahu and the Likud are able to do. For instance, for 11 years now, Netanyahu has frozen Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Something the left never did. And many other examples. So there's no question that this was a defeat. And now Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, his defense minister, are talking about giving the Arab Muslims billions of dollars. They already gave them billions of dollars in assistance over the years. They give them free electricity, free water, free food, free everything, so they can fire thousands of missiles into Israel and call for Israel's annihilation and call for genocide against the Jewish people. And the Israeli government supports them while they do that. And not only that, Netanyahu has asked the United States, he asked Joe Biden to do the same thing. He wants the United States to give billions of dollars in assistance to rehabilitate Gaza. So even the destruction that took place in Gaza, won't amount to much because they're going to rebuild. If they rebuild it and make it nice again, it actually was, the whole thing was counterproductive. The whole war was utterly counterproductive if that happens. And so, what is the solution? The solution is that 80% of the Arabs in Gaza admit in a poll that they want to leave, that they want to get out of Gaza. Because Gaza is hell. Nobody wants to stay there. It's a horrible place. 80% want to leave. They admit this in a poll, even though if they were caught admitting it, they could be killed and called traitors by Hamas. And yet 80% are so anxious to leave, they didn't care. They said, yes, we want to get out. And tens of thousands of Arabs do leave Gaza every year. And every time Egypt opens up a little bit, just a little bit, when Egypt opens up the Sinai, where the Sinai borders on Gaza, just a little bit, huge numbers of Muslims from Gaza try to get through to escape Gaza, because Gaza is like a big prison, like a big concentration camp. Now, of course, I don't feel sorry for the Arab Muslim Nazis that live in Gaza. They're evil people. They support the destruction of the Jewish people. They support genocide. They're jealous, nasty, vicious, cruel, monstrous people, and they deserve whatever they get. But if they want to leave, they want to leave voluntarily, and we don't encourage them. Instead, the Israeli government gives them billions of dollars to stay. This is the ultimate example of treasonous leadership. Treasonous. There are no other words for it. Now, I know that certain people have said that it's not symmetrical, the number of Arabs who died and the number of Jews who died. Well, first of all, there are 1.5 billion Muslims and only like 11 or 12 million Jews, so it can't be symmetrical. It can't be. If it's one-on-one symmetrical, the Jews are losing and losing big. Second, the life of one Jew is worth more than the lives of all the Arab Muslims in Gaza and in the land of Israel all put together. All of their lives are not worth the life of just one Jew. And let's understand what this conflict is really all about. Excuse me. Here we go with the coughing. But anyway, let's understand what this is all about. The Arab Muslim Nazi goal, not just Hamas, but Fatah in Ramallah, and all the Arab countries, including the countries that Trump and Netanyahu signed treaties with, all of that was takia, all of that was deception. Their goal is genocide. Their goal is to exterminate the Jewish people. Their goal is to have an all-Muslim world, because that's what Islam commands Muslims to do. In the Arab media, they constantly promise to exterminate Israel. Now, during the Holocaust, in the 30s and 40s, we didn't learn from the Germans not to ignore when people say they're going to exterminate us and murder us by the millions. If we didn't learn that, we learned no lesson from the Holocaust. That we don't take seriously when they promise to do this, and 1.5 billion Muslims surrounding little Israel, you better take it seriously. You better take it seriously. And again, let's remember something here. Because if you want to talk about symmetrical and how many people have died, yes, 200 Arabs were killed. Unfortunately, only 200 Arabs were killed by the Israeli army. Disgraceful. They should have killed far more. They should have killed all the terrorists. And the rest of the Arabs, they should have gotten out. They should have kicked them out. The rest of the Arabs that support the terrorists. But let's understand something. If you want to talk about killing, let's look at what Arabs have done to their fellow Arabs, what Muslims have done to their fellow Muslims in Syria. The Syrian civil war, 1 million Arab men, women, and children have been slaughtered by their fellow Arab Muslims. 1 million Arabs slaughtered in Syria by their fellow Muslims. If this is what they do to each other, imagine what they would do to the hated Jews and hated non-Muslim infidels. In the Iran-Iraq War, over 2 million Muslims were slaughtered in the Iran-Iraq War. Again, if this is what they do to each other, imagine what they would do to Jews. And by the way, the Iraqis used chemical weapons and poison gas, and the Iranians used all types of terrible things. Just the whole thing was just as brutal as anything that you would see during the German Nazi Holocaust. And this is, they're doing this to each other, to their fellow Muslims. Again, if they do this to their own women and children, if they're so cruel that they could slaughter their own women and children, and millions of them, you think they're joking when they promise to do this to the Jews and the Christians and the non-Muslim infidels? Of course they're not joking. Of course they would do it gladly. In the Lebanon Civil War, 300,000, at least 300,000 Arabs were killed just in the civil war that took place in the 1970s, and then after that, many more were killed. And Lebanon is not a gigantic country. Monstrous, just monstrous. And who is the government in Lebanon now? Hezbollah, the Hezbollah terrorists. That's the government in Lebanon now. By the way, Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah, all of them say in their official charters that their goal is to exterminate all the Jews, to kill every last Jew on the face of the earth. They openly say that. And yet, the media, the Jew-hating media, and the self-hating Judenrat Kapo Jews, and the evil self-hating Jews in the Democrat Party, they're more than happy to help the Hamas terrorists and support them and back them while they promise to commit complete genocide against all Jews everywhere. Just like Hitler, just like the Nazis. Because that is what they want to do. They want to do what Hitler and the Nazis did. They want to do it, except this time to non-Muslim infidels, especially Jews. In the Middle East, especially Jews. And in other parts of the world, of course, Christians. Muslim Turkey. Another example. If we're going to talk about the asymmetrical statistics on how many people were killed. Turkey slaughtered 2 million Armenians in the last century. It was the first Holocaust of the last century. And Hitler, Yimach Shmo, was inspired to carry out the Holocaust against the Jews by the success of Muslim Turkey in doing it and getting away with it. 2 million Armenians were slaughtered by Turkey, by Muslim Nazi Turkey. 800,000 Serbs were slaughtered by Muslim Nazi Turkey. Many, many Greeks. I don't even know how many, but I know for four centuries they raped and slaughtered the Greek people for 400 years. And again, if this is what they do to each other, what do you think they would do to the hated Jews and the hated non-Muslim infidels? So when we talk about symmetrics and how many Arabs are killed versus how many Jews, millions of Muslims and Arabs have been killed by their fellow Arabs and Muslims. 200 were killed by the Israeli army, which is a disgrace. It should have been much more. They should have slaughtered all the Muslim terrorists. Instead, they killed just a handful. But millions have been slaughtered by their fellow Muslims. They've carried out holocausts and genocide against their fellow Muslims over and over again. So when they promise to do this to Israel and to the Jews, when they say they're going to push the Jews into the sea, which is what they say, and when they say that they're going to finish Hitler's job, this is the type of things they put in the media, in the Arab media. They praise the Holocaust, they praise Hitler, they praise the German Nazis. They promise to finish Hitler's job. They promise to push the Jews into the sea and wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. When they promise to do this, this is not a joke. They're very serious. And Iran is building nuclear bombs to do this. And other Muslim countries are developing nuclear bombs. We're talking about very serious threats here. No one is offering the real solution to the people of Israel. No one. And you're not even allowed to. It's illegal. You're not allowed to say that we should encourage the Arabs to leave. First of all, you'll be blacklisted on Facebook and all these other sites. And in Israel, they arrest people for saying this. They call it hasata, incitement, or gizanut, racism. Now, when Arabs say they want to push the Jews into the sea and exterminate the Jewish people, that's not racism, that's not gizanut, that's not gizanut, that's not racism, that's not hasata, that's not incitement. The Israeli prosecutors, who are all extreme leftists, all self-hating Jewish extreme leftists, they spend all their time persecuting and running after good Jews and ignoring the constant Muslim Nazi incitement that takes place in Israel. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is that we've got to continue to try to reach people with our message. Our message, unfortunately, is not the full message we would like to give because they censor us. We're able to attack the Likud and say that it's a phony right and say that they're worse than the left. Those videos we are advertising. So we are telling a lot of truth to the Jews of Israel. Our videos are very important in that respect. But the real message that we would like to bring to the Jews of Israel, which would be very popular right now with the Jews of Israel, to get the Arabs out, to encourage them to leave. Voluntarily they want to leave. Voluntarily. If Israel was normal, they wouldn't even bother with making it voluntary. But voluntarily, even, you're not allowed to say this. It's beyond words. And you see the same, of course, you see the same phenomenon in the United States and Europe. You see the same thing, the same campaign of non-stop black propaganda against whites, non-stop Muslim propaganda and Arab propaganda in European countries. It's the same drumbeat of sick, self-hating people who are just determined to destroy their own countries and destroy their own societies. We're going to try to break through as best we can. We are reaching thousands of Jews with our message every week. And we are, but again, it's not the full message of expelling the Arabs and the things we'd really like to say. We're not allowed to say. But the message that we do bring is still an important message and still is a message that has to be conveyed to the Jews of Israel. So that's what JTF is doing. And that's what we're trying to do. If Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, had been Prime Minister, can you imagine? Do you think anybody would be firing missiles from Gaza? You think there'd be any Arabs in Gaza now if Rabbi Kahana were Prime Minister? And if Rabbi Kahana had been Prime Minister, he would not only have solved the issue, he wouldn't only have solved the issue of terrorism from Gaza in 2 days. In 2 days, there'd be no Gaza left. That would be it. And it's a very beautiful part of the country when the Jews, like in Gush Katif, when the Jews settled there, it's actually a beautiful part of the country, but the Arabs make everything a living hell. Everything the Arabs touch is a living hell. That's why they call Israel the Green Line. Because Israel has beautiful agriculture and beautiful planting and building and just magnificent, breathtaking what Israel does. And then the Arabs, everything they touch is hell, is Jahannam. Jahannam is Arabic, by the way. Everything they touch, Gehenom in Hebrew. Everything they touch, they turn to hell. I guess because they want to get practice, because in the next world, that's where they're going. Yimash mamba zechram shem reshaim birkav. So, we're going to end off by saying on this program once again what we've said many, many times. One thing is certain. One thing has been promised to us. There are going to be a lot of tough times and a lot of terrible decisions that are made and suffering and problems that we're going to have. But in the end, the good guys are going to win, and they're going to win forever. That's the promise of all the Nevi'im, of all the prophets. That's the promise that Hashem Yitbarach, that God, blessed be He, has made to His people. That the day will come when the good guys are going to win and the evil people are going to face destruction. Those who want to destroy us will themselves be destroyed. Those who hate us, those who want to kill us, they're going to get on their heads exactly what they wanted to do to us. It's going to happen to them. That day will come. I don't know if we're going to live to see it. I don't know how long it's going to take. But maybe sometime we'll do a program with years and the beginning of time, and how we count years in Judaism, and how we count the time, 6,000 years since the beginning of significant history in Israel. Maybe sometime we'll do a program on that. It's fascinating. But one thing you can be sure of, in the end, as bad as things look sometimes temporarily, look at what God is doing for us. Despite this insanity, despite this madness, Israel is the one country where the Israeli Jews are having more babies than the Arab Muslims, where even non-religious Israeli Jewish women have a natural birth increase, unlike in other Western countries. Israel's the one country where this is true. In the United States, for instance, white people have negative population. The white population is declining every year now. And the population of the other groups is going up. So you know what the future is in the United States. But in Israel, look what Hashem has done. He's setting us up. He's creating a situation where, despite the same insane forces that you see in running Israel, that you see running America, the same insanity, same type of news media, the same type of corporations, the same type of evil, low-life, self-hating people. And yet, in Israel, despite all of that, the Jews of Israel are growing and flourishing. And Jews in Israel are becoming more and more religious. So, remember what we say on this program many times. Od lo avda tikvatenu. Our hope is not yet lost. It's not lost. And with certainty, the day will come when the good guys will win. But until then, we have to do everything we can because we love our fellow Jews and we love the righteous Gentiles. And so we have to do everything we can to try to prevent suffering and prevent death and prevent catastrophes and prevent Chilul Hashem, prevent desecration of God's name. That's our role in this world. Despite the odds, despite how difficult it is, we got to do that. And it's a particularly difficult time to do it because of the complete censorship, the complete fascist control of everything by the politically correct in Israel and in America and in Europe. Unbelievable what has happened. But as insane as it is, as terrible as it is, despite that, the underlying statistics show what's happening in Israel is not the same as what's happening in America and Europe. In America and Europe, you see the rot, the decay. You see the population aging and diminishing every year, the white population aging and diminishing. In Israel, the Jewish population is growing, Baruch Hashem. And Jewish babies are coming into the world in larger and larger numbers. Ken Yirbu. Ken Yirbu means it should be even more. It should only be even more. So, remember, Od lo avda tikvatenu. Our hope is not yet lost. And again, I apologize for the fact that I'm coughing. And, I also, by the way, if you're wondering again about my beard, as I mentioned, I'm still in the Shloshim. The Shloshim is the 30 days after the death of my beautiful mother, Malka Bat Meir, Zichrona Livracha, Aleha HaShalom. I'm still in the 30 days of mourning. That's why we're not allowed to shave our beards, and we're not allowed to cut our hair. So I look like a 64-year-old hippie. I know it's disgusting. What am I going to do? I look like a hippie, and I have a beard. I don't mind the beard, but my hair. I would like to get a haircut, and we're not allowed to. You don't see it here because of the poor lighting, but I would like to be able to cut my fingernails. You're not allowed to cut your nails for the 30 days. So we're not allowed to cut our nails, we're not allowed to shave, and we're not allowed to cut our hair for the first 30 days for the Shloshim. So that's why I look the way I look. What can we do? That's just the way it is. Anyway, we're going to wait for that opportunity. We wait carefully to seize any opportunity to make a difference. Remember, we played a role in preventing Netanyahu from getting 61 seats in the last election. I don't know if that's going to stop him from forming a government, but we did play a role in doing that. And so when we sense an opportunity to do something, JTF will be there to try to seize the opportunity to do good for the Jews and for the righteous Gentiles and to make this a better world. Because if we work together as a team, we can change history, and we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.